Hello and welcome. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. The impending Brexit vote continues to have the global markets on edge. The Heard on the Street podcast examines what exactly this could all mean for Britain and the global markets. Coming up.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Heard on the Street, the podcast. We are the Wall Street Journal's home for commentary on all things financial all over the world. Reporting from New York, I'm Miriam Gottfried, joined by my colleague Alex Frangos in Hong Kong. Good to have you, Alex.
Thanks, Miriam. Good to be here.
We have Heard on the Street's Richard Barley and Paul Davies on the line from London to talk to us about the vote that has global markets on edge, namely Brexit. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Miriam.
Hi.
Good to have you. So next week, Britain is voting on whether it will stay in the European Union or leave. I've heard market pundits saying that if the Leave camp wins, the resulting global economic turmoil will be akin to the Lehman bankruptcy and market crash of 2008. Richard, we'll start with you. How could Britain's place in the EU possibly be so important for global markets?
So I think the comparison with Lehman might be over-egging things a little bit.
Okay.
But that's not to say this isn't important. I mean, there's ramifications on several levels of a potential vote for Leave. So first, for the UK, pretty much everyone has lined up to say that this would be a bad idea. The IMF, the OECD, central banks, world leaders. Christine Lagarde at the IMF, when asked to describe the consequence for the UK of a vote to Leave, said they range from pretty bad to very, very bad. And essentially, what we would have would be an extended period of uncertainty, a hit to confidence, reduced investment. That could cause higher unemployment. We could see a big slowdown in growth. And the key for the UK, the key vulnerability from my perspective, is we run a large current account deficit. It was north of 5% last year. A hit to confidence in the UK with a large financial system and a large current account deficit, there's a clear risk of an accident waiting to happen. That's before you even begin to think about the ramifications for Europe and the rest of the globe.
What sort of accident are you talking about? Meaning, like the capital that the UK relies on from abroad would mean a kind of spike in interest rates, and you know that would cause the economy to slow down, or something even worse than that.
That is one concern. I mean, one clear concern would be that Britain would be a less attractive destination for foreign direct investment. Being part of the EU we are sort of a gateway to Europe as an English language country. We would lose a great deal of that attractiveness potentially, certainly in the short term, as uncertainty about the status of our relationship with Europe persisted. So far, we've seen UK bond yields falling very sharply, but there still remains the risk that foreign investors decide to bide their time or pull out of the UK. So we do run that risk.
And the way the Bank of England governor, Mark Carney, described it is the UK is reliant upon the kindness of strangers to fund its current account deficit and to fund, you know, a good chunk of its own public borrowing. So that's the kind of thing that if foreign investors take flight, not only from gilts, but perhaps stock market and then property as well, that's the sort of thing that could provoke a real sort of, you know, currency and asset crisis in the UK.
Now, the Leave camp actually has a lot of supporters, and there's a serious chance that it could win. And, you know, I think the appeal is to not be dragged down by the rest of Europe. I mean, what do you think about that? Is there some legitimacy to that?
Well, it's one of the problems here is that there almost appears to be a belief that Europe will sort of magically disappear for the UK. The UK and Europe are inextricably entwined, whether we're members of the European Union or not. And actually, UK growth has been pretty good. Even in recent years, despite being a member of the European Union, we've had growth in the past couple of years approaching 3% level, which for the UK is pretty strong. It has slowed down this year, but that's because largely of uncertainty around this vote. There is no real sign that we are being held back. And in fact, in terms of, the regulations that people complain about on the economy, the UK is one of the least regulated economies, or has the lowest burden of regulation among some of the European countries.
But what about the European regulation? I mean, it has to comply with the EU regulations, correct?
That's true, but that means that we have a single set of regulations that cover our biggest trading partner. And we also have some input into how they are created. Other countries, such as Norway, that have that aren't in the European Union, have a relationship whereby they have to follow these regulations anyway, but they have no input.
And the point, it's Paul here, the point for the UK is that, you know, a huge amount of our exports goes to the European Union, and in financial services, which is one of our biggest and most important industries, about 40% of that activity is effectively exports into Europe. Now that, without the current sort of trade arrangements, which are known as passporting for all financial services, without those arrangements, you cannot do that business from London into the rest of Europe. And the point about a vote for Brexit, the way it's been set up, a British exit from Europe, is that it's mainly about immigration and free movement of people in Europe. Now, a vote to leave is a vote to close our borders, and you cannot be a member of any part of the Union or the European Economic Area unless you subscribe to this open borders, free movement of people policy. So, you know, the idea that we vote for Brexit, close our borders, and then they let us carry on exporting whatever we like into Europe as we do today is, you know, very, very difficult to see as a real outcome.
All right. We are going to have to end it there. That wraps things up for this week's Heard on the Street podcast. Please join us every week for the latest in global investing. For more, please check us out at wsj.com/heard. From New York, I'm Miriam Gottfried. On behalf of the rest of the Heard on the Street team, thanks for listening.